Thanks for joining us today, and welcome to another episode of Banking Matters. I'm your host, Laura Benson. Today, we're keeping it in-house again, as our last episode is a great segue into today's episode with our very own Stephen Ross. Stephen is a compliance officer with Compliance Alliance, who in our last podcast was referred to as our product expert. Stephen graduated from Texas Tech University with a bachelor's degree in business management and began his banking career over 20 years ago. He then moved into a compliance role with the OCC in 2006. Since then, Stephen has held various compliance positions in banks large and small and obtained his CRCM designation in 2008. Thanks, Stephen, for joining us today. You've kind of been dubbed like the wizard behind the curtain when it comes to the tools and products that Compliance Alliance offers. But before we get into that, why don't you just start off by telling our listeners a little bit about yourself and how you got into banking?
Thanks, Laura. I'm really happy to join you today on the podcast. Like most people who have been featured on this podcast before me, I didn't go to school expecting to end up in bank compliance. I got my degree in business management. Shortly after graduation, I was working in retail management at a sporting goods store. What pushed me towards banking was working every day after dark and on the weekends and never being able to walk into a bank lobby unless it was my day off. So it was kind of a light bulb moment, and I got to thinking I would love to have banker's hours. So that's kind of where it all started. So 20 years ago, I sent a resume into a large bank, and I was hired as an assistant manager trainee, and the rest is history. I've kind of been doing this ever since. And since that first opportunity over 20 years ago, I've had a very diverse career path that spans small banks to large banks, as well as the OCC. I have called Texas, Colorado, and Montana home. I'm still in Montana and loving every minute of it. I've held various compliance positions ranging, like I said, from small community banks all the way up to banks with assets of $25 billion. I do think I bring a very unique perspective to Compliance Alliance team, as the two banks I worked for prior to joining the team were both CA members. So I got to kind of see and experience firsthand the ability to download tools or send in questions via email or chat. I had so much respect for what CA was doing for its bank members, I decided to send in my resume and join the team. So here I am today at CA, happily since 2022. So now, essentially, my role here at Compliance Alliance, I serve as a compliance officer. I have a multitude of duties here. However, my main duties, I try to focus on creating new tools for our members to utilize, as well as updating the older tools on our website to ensure that we are continuing to offer maximum value to each of our members that utilize our tools on a daily basis.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, one thing that I don't know that any of our coworkers currently know, but we've worked together in the past. So this isn't our first time Stephen and I have crossed paths. But yeah, considering
two Montanans, we're two Montanans on the podcast today.
That is true. Go Montana. Yeah, it's nice to see you here. Yeah, but you primarily work with the tools and the products, and I'm sure that keeps you very busy, especially because I was wondering, like, what, I guess, just to get an idea of what that looks like, how many tools do we actually have that you're responsible for maintaining?
So as our members know, we have a multitude of downloadable tools on our website, and I do have to make one clerical correction from Jefferson's podcast last week. We actually have roughly about 1,500 tools available for our members, and they're all located in about 54 separate toolkits. So that's a tad more than Jefferson had mentioned last week, as he said it was around 500. Our tools range from calculators and cheat sheets to worksheets, policies, procedures, training, risk assessments, and a lot more. Most of the tools on our site have been downloaded thousands of times, so there's really high demand for what we do here to serve our member banks. I actually wrote an article in our June 2024 edition of Access Magazine that highlights our top 10 most downloaded tools ever. So hop onto our site for a quick read if that piques your interest. As a spoiler, I will name a few. These would include the Consumer Complaint Tracking Log, the Flood Insurance Minimum Coverage Calculator, the Advertising Review Checklist, and several of our most popular risk assessments. To see the whole list, though, you're going to have to log onto our website and view the magazine. So happy reading, everyone.
Yes. And as a VCO, I know that the banks that I work with really love a lot of our risk assessment templates, like especially the Fair Lending one and the BSA risk assessment. A lot of them are starting to switch over that, and they're just so user-friendly. So what does that process look like, I guess, to keep those up to date? Because I assume like when there's a reg change or something like that, that that would take precedence. But otherwise, like 1500, that is a lot. So are they on like a review schedule, or do you just kind of like update as needed? Like if somebody points something out, or just, I don't know, what does that look like?
So that's a really good question, and I'll do my best to answer this one. It's a very complex process, but it's definitely a team effort. And we also need help from our members in this regard. So since we have such a vast number of tools on our website, it can be difficult to keep them all up to date. So I encourage all of our members that see out-of-date tools to send us an email, chat in, let us know so we can prioritize getting those fixed as soon as possible. Our ultimate goal, like Laura mentioned, is to get all of our tools on our website on a rotational review schedule. So we continue to ensure that they're routinely reviewed and updated. This should happen in the near future if everything goes as planned. Right now, we're still playing a little bit of catch up, but we want to get there, and we're definitely going to do our best to do that. We do monitor several key regulations on an annual basis, since thresholds do increase for CRA, HMDA, Reg Z, et cetera. We also are all probably aware of the recent release of the new Reg CC funds availability thresholds that will be effective in July of 2025. So we haven't made any changes to the website as of today for any Reg CC threshold updates, but we will have those put in place prior to July 2025, so all of our members can utilize those updated tools and calculators. Currently, I'm working very diligently to review and refresh a large number of the older tools on our website, while at the same time trying to manage creating new tools as needed for new rules or guidance such as 1071, CRA, UDAP, reconsideration of value. The list just seems to keep going on and growing by the year. On a personal note, I just want to mention that my personal OCD kind of wants me to get everything on our website to match and look the same. So as of right now, it's a little discombobulated. Compliance Alliance has been around since 2011. We're currently in the process of updating all these tools into the same colors, fonts, formats. So we want to have a more cohesive look across the website in general. Hopefully, this will get done over the next year or two. In the meantime, we're just going to have to all cross our fingers and hope that the speed of regulation kind of slows down a little bit. Right now, I think we're all just kind of playing catch up.
Oh, that's so true. Yeah. And I would think developing those tools would be a daunting task, like all the research and the time that goes into just creating that. I mean, you were just talking about Reg CC, which is one of my least favorite regulations. I use a lot of our own tools, you know, personally with my role as a VCO as well, and I pass them on to my banks, and we all really get a lot of use out of them. But to create one from scratch, like what type of research do you have to do, and like the resources that you're using to create these, and how many people actually go into like developing one of these?
So I can honestly say it's a very challenging and rewarding at the same time to be in this position at CA. Jefferson mentioned last week that I kind of work on an island, but that doesn't mean that I'm all alone in my endeavors to create new tools and update our website. So it's an ongoing process. Every tool that I work on, whether it's brand new, a total teardown and rebuild, or just minor updates, run through a review and approval process prior to upload. At the end of the day, it's always going to be a team effort by the Compliance Alliance staff. Jefferson also noted in last week's podcast that he rates the tools process as a one because he has a Steven to take care of that for him. But we definitely have tool complexities that run the gamut of the 1 to 10 scale. For example, some of our tools are simply one-page checklists or very basic forms. However, many others, such as calculators or risk assessments, can take up to or over 100 hours of research and development prior to releasing them for download for our members to utilize. And even after we put all of that work into these tools, we don't really ever expect them to be 100% perfect or a one-size-fits-all solution for every single member bank, as there's just a large diversity of different banks of sizes, of different sizes, scopes, and complexities as our member base. So essentially, a lot of our tools can be thought of as kind of like a lump of clay. Every bank is going to have to mold it to suit their own needs through modifications or changes the bank deems essential to its own operations or specific circumstances. We highly encourage our members to modify the tools as needed and are always happy to unlock a password-protected tool that contains formulas so banks can change them as they see fit. Just send in that request and we'll do that for you. We want to keep our member base happy and satisfied. We do put some of those formulas under lockdown for protection just to make sure that the tools work properly when they're downloaded. With respect to the resources we use to create our tools, it's vast. We can use examination manuals, final rules, digging into the regulation and commentary, interagency guidances, best practices, whatever else we can find that we consider an accurate or reputable resource. It's really quite extensive when you think about it, and it's not easy. So we're doing our best and everything we can to satisfy the members.
Yeah, and I love that you mentioned that we can unlock some of those formulas for them because, you know, a lot of, at least in my experience, there's a little nervousness to change anything. Like they like the template, they want to not mess with it as much as they can. But, you know, sometimes that's necessary depending on the bank and their needs.
Absolutely. I totally agree 100%. And if anyone ever wants a document unlocked, just send that request in and we will send you an unlocked copy.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you for sharing that. And, you know, kind of going along with that, a lot of our tools are born out of requests from our members, you know, so I guess recreating a new tool, that's something that someone's requested. Like, what does that process look like from start to finish? Do you first look like, do we already have one of these? Maybe could I pull something and then just kind of manipulate it for what they need? Because I don't know that a lot of our banks know that they can request tools from us if we have something that they need that we don't already have. So I guess just kind of walk us through what that looks like.
Yeah. So generally, we get tool requests from members via emails and chats. However, we also have our VCOs and hotline staff that also make requests after discussing over the phone or in chat with our members. They may have questions about a specific tool that they need clarification on or they want to get it updated. So our VCOs, as well as our members, are a great resource for helping us to implement any changes or putting in requests for new tools. Member feedback is a great resource for helping us identify out-of-date tools as well. So if any members out there see a tool that was uploaded a couple of years ago and it doesn't look like it's currently up to par, or we may have had a new guidance or something that just came out in 2023 or 2024 and it just hasn't been looked at in a few years, feel free to let us know. We always are more than welcome to make any additional modifications or updates to our documents to help our members succeed. We treat every tool request as a very important request, but there's no timeline essentially for getting it completed per se. Some of the requests we get are very basic, so it wouldn't require near as much research and development, so we can maybe satisfy those requests a lot sooner. With more complex tools like calculators or risk assessments, there's going to be a lot more legwork involved and a list of a lot more to do. And as everyone knows, the regulators are not making this easy on us. They're putting out final rules that are 800 to 1500 plus pages long. So when we have to try to kind of parse through all that data and information to create something that our members can actually use, it can sometimes be quite frustrating just trying to dig through and find the key highlights and not make it to where it's, we don't want to put out a 1500 page tool on our website. The regulation can be 1500 pages long, but we can't give our members a 1500 page document. So that's just not going to fly. Once we do get a request for a new tool, we do essentially the research and development process first. We start a template to generate kind of a baseline tool to help satisfy that member's request. After that, I will send it on to a management for review and approval. Then once it's approved, it gets a final approval and it will be uploaded to our site for all of our members to use, including the member who requested it. So that's essentially how the tools process works from start to finish. It's never a set in stone thing, and it's always fluid, but we do the best we can.
Yeah, and it sounds like there's a lot of hours and a lot of people that go into creating these things. So that's
absolutely,
yeah, that's off to you. Definitely a wizard behind the curtain for sure. And one of the things that I don't know that our members may not know is that we even have tools for how to use our tools, you know? So can you kind of talk a little bit about that as well?
We do, yes. Not only do we provide a diverse catalog of tools to our members to use, we also have tool segment videos every 2 weeks that come out that highlight some of the more popular tools on our website. So I'll give a shout out to our virtual compliance officer, Kelly Owsley, here today. She does a great job recording our tool segment videos. So everyone, just give her a big round of applause and thank her for doing that work for us. With respect to creating policies, we currently offer over 150 policy templates on our website that can be customized by each bank to suit their own needs. However, I would highly recommend that everyone view the recent webinar on our website regarding the bank's compliance management system and policy writing. There is a fantastic desktop manual that went along with this webinar. It was written by Theo Kelly, who's on our team as well at CA. And it provides many insights and best practices into creating policies at the bank level. I'll also mention kind of what Jefferson mentioned last week, or make a note of it. He said policies specifically are more an art than a science. So while we try to incorporate specific elements into our own policy templates, there's no truly one-size-fits-all approach. And each bank is going to have internal discussions on how detailed they would like their own policies to be. So the desktop manual is a very valuable guide. I highly recommend it to anyone out there who's writing policies or attempting to do that on their own at their own banks. Theo, thanks for all your hard work on this. We appreciate that.
Yeah, I love that you gave a shout out for that. I've actually talked about that on a podcast before, and it is very valuable. So yeah, but it definitely does take a village, and we do have a great team here at Compliance Alliance. So this has been a great conversation. I hope this really helps our members understand the products and the tools and, you know, how much work goes into them and kind of just how that side of the house functions. So I appreciate you and thank you so much for joining us. But before we wrap it up today, we always like to ask, what is one piece of advice that you would like to leave our listeners with today?
Laura, I really appreciate being invited onto the podcast today. It's been great. I hope all our members have a little better understanding of the inner workings of CA after this podcast is released. One piece of advice I can give to anyone who finds themselves working in the world of banking, I would say go get yourself a professional certification, whether it's from the ABA or the ICBA, whatever your area of expertise is, go get yourself a professional certification. It will do you wonders and it will open many doors for you. Thanks, Laura.
Thanks, Stephen. Yeah, that's such great advice. That's definitely one thing that can help boost your career to have one of those certifications. It just kind of validates that you know your stuff and that you will add value to that team. So,
absolutely. And it does kind of stand out in the resume a little bit. So,
yeah, that's so true. Yeah, that's great advice. Well, thank you for joining us today, Stephen. I appreciate you taking the time. And that's Banking Matters.